海昆塔之音服务员于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年6月17日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Charan Prabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的Chaitanya经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We're reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 22, the process of devotional service.
今天早上我们继续来讲解永恒的慈悲念经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章父爱服务的程序。
Speaking this morning from Sri Dhammayapur.
我们今天是在 Sri Dhammayapur 向大家直播。
And the monsoon has begun.
雨季已经开始了。
Which means a lot of rain.
所以每天有很多雨水。
And very cool weather, so it's very pleasant.
然后天气也凉爽了很多。
Monsoon means the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
雨季啊，就是意味着是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈。
And as it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, during the rainy season, devotees stay in one place.
那就像是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 当中所说到的，当雨季来临的时候，奉献者是会固定的待在一个地方。
And because of the rain, there is very little movement.
因为今天经常的下雨，所以呢走动很少。
Very little activities.
然后呢，这个活动也减少很多。
So this gives opportunity to increase sadhana.
所以这样子呢，就有助于 sadhana 的增加。
This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did every year during the rainy season.
啊，这是每年雨季来临的时候 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就是这样做的。
Which means chanting extra rounds, reading more scriptures.
那就是意味着这个念诵呢要增加，而且呢还要读更多的经典。
Sleeping less, eating less.
睡得少一些，吃得少一些。
And a lot of association.
然后奉献者之间有很多的联谊。
So this is traditional, at least in India during the rainy season, the sadhus take this opportunity to increase their sadhana.
那这个呢，就是在印度的一个传统。当雨季来临的时候，那些萨杜们，他们就会利用这个季节。更好地增加他们的 sadhana 规范的休息。
And the result of increasing sadhana is we also increase our faith, which is the topic of our reading.
那么这个伴随着 sadhana 的增加，也就意味着我们的信心增加，而信心就是我们的这个讲课的主题。
We have to always remember that even though we have to followSo many rules and regulations, the process of Krishna consciousness is never mechanical.
那我们要知道呢，就是虽然我们被教导要遵循很多很多的规范原则，但是 Krishna 知觉的这个程序永远不是机械的。
To be engaged in Krishna consciousness means that the soul is awakened and active.
那从事 Krishna 知觉的修习就意味着这个灵魂是苏醒的，而且是活跃的。
So we have to be careful not to develop habits of mechanical chanting.
所以我们必须要小心的谨慎，千万不要生出那个机械的念诵的坏习惯。
Or mechanical service.
或者是机械的服务。
Or mechanical association.
或者是机械的联谊。
Or reading scriptures with our mind somewhere else.
或者是心不在焉的。读 经典。
Of course, every attempt that we make to do something for Krishna is purifying and beneficial.
当然了，我们为了为 Krishna 做服务所做的一切的这个努力，都对我们有很大的净化力量，对我们总是会让我们受益的。
But it is clear that not everyone will make advancement at the same speed.
但是我们也知道，并不是所有的人都是步调一致的，能够取得同样的进步的。
Some devotees are more enthusiastic than others.
有些奉献者比起其他的奉献者来说呢，更加的热情。
Some devotees are more faith than others.
有些奉献者比别的奉献者的信念更加的强。
Some devotees are more attached to the process than others.
有些奉献者比起其他的奉献者来说，更加的依附这种奉爱的程序。
Other devotees have more doubts.
那还有一些奉献者，他们可能心中的疑惑就更多一些。
Some devotees struggle more.
那有些奉献者呢，更加的挣扎。
So not everybody is on the same level.
所以呢，大家并不是处在同一个层面上。
And this is based on our upbringing, our culture, past activities, past life.
那这个呢，跟我们的前世，跟我们之前所从事的活动，还有我们的出生，我们的文化环境都有关系。
Our eagerness.
还有我们的内心中的这种渴望。
So.Naturally, it creates classifications.
所以很自然呢，可能奉献者也会，就自然的分类到不同的类别里边了。
On the absolute platform, meaning in the spiritual world, there's no such a thing as classification.
那从这个就是绝对的这个角度来说，从灵性的这个角度来说，那绝对是。没有这种分阶这样的一个概念的。
Everyone is on the pure platform of devotional service.
就是说，所有的奉献者都是在绝对的纯粹的层面上。
And everyone serves Krishna in their own capacity based on the nature of their service.
而且呢，就是每一个人都是量力而行的，都是基于他自己做奉献。服务的这种力量尽力而为。
But in the material world, we go from the conditioned platform to the liberated platform.
在这个物质世界呢，我们就是从这个受局限的、受条件限制的这样的一种状态，一直往上走，一直到这个解脱的层面。
And it would be ideal.If we live constantly in the association of devotees,
那如果我们能够时时刻刻的和奉献者生活在一起，那就是再理想不过了。
And it would be ideal if all the people around us were Krishna conscious.
那如果我们周围的人都是 Krishna 知觉，那也是非常理想的。
But that is not the case.
但是事实的情况并非如此。
So we also have the tendency to be influenced by others who are.I'm not devotees.
所以呢，我们也有这样的一种倾向，也很容易受到那些非奉献者对我们的影响。
This is why faith and association with devotees are the two principles that always keeps us in Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，一方面就是信心，另外一方面呢，就是跟奉献者的联谊。这两者呢，就是一直维系着我们 Krishna 知觉的这个历程的两个重要的原则。
There are some interesting stories of people who read, who receive Prabhupada's books, but actually never meet devotees.
那有一些非常有意思的一些例子。有些人呢，他们获得了这个Prabhupada 的书，但是呢，他们从来都没有见过奉献者。
There's actually a true story of something like this that happened in Russia.
在俄罗斯就有这样的一个故事。
Because devotees were distributing books all over the country, but it's very hard to track down who actually received the books and whether they read the books or not.
因为呢，这个奉献者是在整个的这个俄罗斯地区到处去派书的，但是你很难追踪到底是哪一些人请到了这些书，并且他们是否有所阅读。
So one time devotees in Russia were having a public program.
有一次在俄罗斯呢，这奉献者做了一个公开的活动。
And there were many guests.
当时邀请了很多的客人。
And among the guests, there were certain people who were behaving in a very particular way.
然后就在这些宾客当中呢，其中有一部分人的这个举止比较的特别。
So the devotees asked those guests, why are you doing this way and that way? It seems like you already know Krishna consciousness.
然后呢，有一些奉献者呢，就看到了这些很特别的这一群客人，所以就问他们说，你们为什么这样做？或者说又问他们，你们为什么会那样去做呢？好像你们已经事先了解过 Krishna 直觉了。
And these guests revealed.That they were part of a group of 300 devotees.
然后呢，这个其中有一个客人，他就透露说，原来他们是一个300人的这个奉献者的团队中的一员。
Who all had received Prabhupada's books but never met the devotees.
那这300个奉献者呢，他们是接到过Srila Prabhupada的书籍的，但是这辈子还从来没有见过奉献者。
And they started practicing Krishna consciousness.
然后他们自己就开始修习 Krishna 知觉了。
Which means that within the scriptures, especially Prabhupada's books, everything is revealed to actually become a pure devotee.
所以呢，这就证明了在经典中，尤其是在Srila Prabhupada的书籍里，有关如何成为纯粹的奉献者的一切都已经有所揭示。
Anyone who buys a book from Srila Prabhupada can study the book, look at the content, and begin their spiritual life because they get the direct association not only of Srila Prabhupada, but all the acharyas that are mentioned in the purport.
所以说呢，任何一个得到 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍，只要他们去看了这些师节，看了其中的这些内容，其实他们就已经完全可以开始修习 Krishna 知觉了，因为那些程序、那些内容都已经揭示了。而且他们这是原因是什么呢？是因为他们不仅得到了 Srila Prabhupada 这位纯粹的奉献者的涟漪，而且也得到了过往的所有的 Acharya 历代先师们的涟漪。
And of course, to have Krishna's personal association.
当然了，还有得到了 Krishna 的这个亲身的涟漪。
This is the main and essential reasons for making an effort to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books.
所以呢，这个也是。去努力的派发 Srila Prabhupada 的一个重要的动力的来源。
Book distribution is not just for the devotees.
就是派书并不仅仅是为了奉献者的益处。
Book distribution means to have a stock of books at home and to actually make the effort to find people.And to give them those books.
那就是说，这些书不是只仅仅是给奉献者派的。每个人都可以在自己的家里面去储存一些书籍，然后努力的去找到一些外面的人，把这些书派给他们。
We don't know where those books travel.
我们真的不知道这些书的这个旅行的轨迹是什么。
Sometimes someone will buy a book from a devotee in China.And then that person will travel to another country, will give it to a friend who is also Chinese, he will read the book and become a devotee.
有的时候有的人他在中国得到了这个书籍，然后之后呢可能就迁居到了国外去了，然后就给了国外的这个中国朋友一本书，然后这个人呢看了这个书之后可能就成了一个奉献者了。
So book distribution is like a rain of mercy on the conditioned soul.
所以呢，书籍呢就好比是从天而降的，降落在这个受条件限制的灵魂上的甘霖。
And there's no question of thinking, but the philosophy is too high; people will not understand.
你不用这么去想啊，这个里面的这个哲学实在太高深了，这个人们是没有办法理解的。
If we manage to understand, anyone can understand.
那如果说我们能有办法去理解这个经典的话，那么其他外面的任何一个人都可以有这样的一种潜力。
So Prabhupada considered book distribution the most important service that we can do to please him.
所以呢，Srila Prabhupada 呢，他就是说，派发书籍是我们能够做的最取悦Srila Prabhupada 的一个最重要的服务。
And in the Chinese yatra, we don't emphasize enough the importance of actually distributing books.
但是在我们中国地区，中国的这个yatra，我们对于这个书籍派发还强调的不够。
So we receive that mercy. It is only fair that others would also receive such a mercy.
那如果说我们自身得到了这样的仁慈，那我们也得让其他的人也得到这份仁慈，这才公平。
Everything begins with coming in contact with a devotee.
所有的一切都始于和奉献者的接触。
Whether we meet the devotee personally face to face.Or by distance or through a book, but the contact has to be initiated.
那不管是我们能够面对面的跟别人接触，还是说跟他在一定的距离，保持一定的距离的这种接触，还是说通过一部这个书籍让他接触到奉献者。总之呢，我们一定要跟让他有这样和奉献者接触的这样的一种机会的开始。
When people bring the book at home, practically speaking, Prabhupada explains, having that book at home is none different than installing a deity.
那就是当人们把这个书籍带回家的时候，就像是Srila Prabhupada说的一样，实际上呢，一个把这样的灵性的书籍带回去的人，就无异于是在家里面设立了一个神坛。
I remember.In the early days when devotees would go door to door selling full sets of Srila Prabhupada's book.
我记得早期的时候很多的这个奉献者是挨家逐户的去派发整套的全套的 Srila Prabhupada 的书。
The whole set of Srimad Bhagavatam.
全套的圣典薄伽瓦坛。
The Bhagavad Gita.
薄伽梵歌。
The Nectar of Devotion.
还有奉爱的甘露。
That was the package.
这个呢就是一个整套。
And when the devotees would go into someone's home, where do you put all these books? They had to clear some space either in the bookshelf or somewhere prominent in the house where those books would be sitting.
然后当奉献者派书的时候进到别人的家里，那这些书放在哪儿呢？他们会在这个书架上面腾出一个空地，或者说在家里面找到一个最醒目、最重要的一个地方，把这个书。书端端正正的摆放上去。
So we have to meditate on that.
所以我们也要如此去冥想。
So many different people will be attracted to Krishna consciousness in different ways.
不同的人他们会以不同的方式被 Krishna 知觉所吸引。
And then gradually, as we progress.By practicing Krishna consciousness, we naturally fall into different categories of devotees.
然后呢，当我们沿着这个程序去实践的时候，随着我们就是奉献服务的这个深入，很自然而然的呢，我们就被自然的归入了不同的类别。
Of course, we have to see that everyone is a devotee. We should not. It's a very dangerous.Exercise to judge others.
当然了，在我们的眼里，我们也应该要看到每一个人其实都是奉献者。如果说我们试图去评判其他的奉献者，这实际上是非常的危险的。
So the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing those classification with Sanatan Goswami is because you need to make a distinction.So you can actually bring the reader to understand what is pure bhakti.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢？为什么会跟 Sanatan Goswami 去探讨这个不同类别的奉献者呢？其实是为了让我们能够明白究竟是怎么样的这个程序能够把我们带到这个纯粹的奉献者的这个层面。
So in his presentation.Of the process of bhakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very systematic.
所以当讲到了这个奉爱服务的这个程序的时候 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是 非常有序有系统的。
So far he has given us a picture of the journey of the conditioned soul.
那到目前为止呢，他就给我们呈现了一个受条件限制的灵魂的旅程的画面。
Until the conditioned souls come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
就是呢，受条件限制的灵魂之前都经历了些什么，直到他遇见者。
By great fortune.
这里讲到的就是说，因为这个巨大的幸运的缘故，所以他才有幸能够接触到奉献者。
And that great fortune is a combination of Krishna acting within the heart and meeting the devotees externally.
那这个巨大的幸运来自于哪里呢？一方面就是说 Krishna 他是在奉献者的这个心中指引着他，另外的一个方面呢，他从外在来说，他也会以奉献者的身份出现在这个人的面前。
So everyone experiences the first time or the first few times that we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, everything is very exciting.
所以我们大家都是有这样的一种体验的，无论我们是就是第一次遇到奉献者，还是一开始几次见到这个奉献者，就所有的一切对我们来说都是非常激动人心的。
Because it's like,Time does not count anymore. We move on to a transcendental platform.
这个时候好像时间已经不复存在了，我们上升到了一个超然的境界。
And we get carried away by the flow of ecstasy with association, with prasadam, with chanting, with scriptures. Everything carried us away.
然后呢，那样一种特别的狂喜，然后荣耀菩萨的阅读经典。唱诵圣名，所有的一切呢，就好像是浪潮一样推动着我们。
That's why Srila Rupa Goswami in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion explained that even a neophyte devotee who is new to Krishna consciousness is instantly situated on a transcendental platform.
所以这就是为什么 Rupa Goswami 在他的《奉爱的甘露》中就是说到了，即便是一个初级的奉献者，其实从一开始接触 Krishna 知觉的时候，他已经到了这种纯粹的一个奉爱的层面。
But can a neophyte devotee maintain that position?
但是问题就是说，他虽然进入了这样的一个境界，这样的一种境界是可以维持下去的嘛。
Because there's another reality that goes side by side.
因为呢伴随着这样的一种纯粹的一种狂喜，其实相应的呢还有一个另外一个现实。
There's the reality of the material world.
那就是这个物质世界的现实。
And the work.
包括这个他的家庭啊，他工作呀。他的朋友啊等等。
All the people around us.
我们周围的所有的这些人。
The modes of material nature.
物质自然的能量。
And in our body and our senses.
我们的心意啊，我们的躯体，我们的感官等等。
So these things come into play and they challenge our faith.
然后这些东西呢，其实它就也是开始活跃起来了，就对我们造成了一种挑战。
So that little window experience of actually pure bhakti now is being challenged with the reality of the material world.
所以我们一开始所体会到的这种纯粹的bhakti 的这种惊鸿一瞥，就好像是开了一个小窗看到的一样。那么现在其实就面临着这个物质能量对我们的挑战。
Sometimes devotees are urged, pushed,to take initiation from the spiritual master.
有的时候呢，有一些奉献者是被推动着，甚至是好像被强迫了一样，去接受了灵性导师的启迪。
The guru is coming. You have to surrender.
因为有人跟他说了 ，Guru 快来了，你得皈依他。
For some devotees, it works, and for some other devotees, it can have a devastating effect.
那对有一些奉献者来说，这样的推动呢，可能是有效的；但是对其他的奉献者来说呢，可能就是一种灾难性的效果。
Remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example that when the seed of bhakti is planted, the seed will give rise to a plant.
那就是还记得前面几天的马哈帕布，他就是说到了这个巴克提风爱的种子播下之后呢，它慢慢的生长就会变成一棵植物。
And that plant will begin to grow, but that plant is fragile. We have to be very careful with it.
然后这个植物它是会一直往上长的，但是在初期的时候它还是非常的娇嫩的，非常的脆弱，所以这时候我们得非常小心的去呵护它。
Sometimes devotees are very excited to find a spiritual master that they accept without even knowing what it means to surrender to a guru.
有的时候呢，奉献者迫不及待的就是想皈依一个灵性导师，想接受启迪，但是实际上他对于是皈依灵性导师的深意几乎是一无所知。
And they keep a spiritual master like you keep a trophy on the shelf at home.
然后他们呢对待灵性导师的这个方式，灵性导师在他们心目中就好像是这个架子上的一个奖品一样。
But there's no relationship, no service, no progress.
就在那供着，但是呢，这种关系其实并没有真正的建立起来。在这里呢，他也没有这种服务作为连接，就是这个门徒对灵性导师是没有实质性的服务的。
Especially at the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we have to be very careful to have a very strong foundation.
所以呢，尤其是在我们 Krishna 知觉起步的这个阶段，要尤其要小心，一定要奠定一个非常扎实的基础。
We have to do things properly so that it will give strength to the growth of the bhakti.
所以呢我们一定要把所有的事情都要脚踏实地的去做好了，夯实了，这样子呢我们之后的这个奉爱的道路才是顺畅的。
So last week we discussed the element of faith, how important faith is.
我们上周谈到了信心，我们分析到就是为什么说信心是那么的重要。
And sometimes faith is something that we don't understand.
有的时候呢，我们对这个信心呢理解不足。
What is the meaning of faith?
信心意味着什么？
The fact that we get up in the morning is because we have faith that the day has come.
我们早上能够睁开眼睛从床上起来，是因为我们有信心的，就是明确的知道这一天要开始了。
The fact that we put one foot in front of the other is because we have faith that we are moving forward.
我们一个脚迈在另外一个脚的前面，是因为我们知道我们现在在往前迈进。
The fact that we step out the door to go somewhere and do things because we have faith we will get results.
我们出了这个门，然后呢，出了家门，要到某一个地方，是因为我们知道我们这样去做的话，一定会有能收获结果。
But whether the information that we receive are reliable or not, that is a question.
但是我们所获得的这些信息究竟是否是值得信赖的，这个是不得而知的。
So faith is actually part of the constitution of the soul.
所以呢，信心呢，其实就是说，灵魂的构成中的一部分。
Because the soul is constantly seeking pleasure to love Krishna.
这是灵魂本性的一部分，因为这个灵魂它总是时时刻刻的在寻觅着对 Krishna 的爱。
And that love can only be expressed when there is reciprocation.
那这种爱呢，只是在有相互的这个回应交流当中才可以存在。
So until we actually experience that pure love for Krishna,Now we're going to base our faith in what Prabhupada calls fallible soldiers.
那就是在我们真正的达到对 Krishna 的全然的这种爱之前，我们可能就是说，会脱离于就像 Srila Prabhupada 说的那些，会犯错的，会犯错误的这个士兵。
In other words, we put our faith in things which are not really reliable.
就是说是那些士兵他是靠不住的。就是说我们呢实际上会脱避于一些真的没有办法支持我们的因素。
So, in Krishna consciousness, initial faith means that the faith is actually strong.
在 Krishna 之觉当中的最初的这个说到建立起信心，其实也意味着这种信心是非常的强大的。
But it needs to be cultivated.
但是同时也必须要去滋养培养它。
And Lord Chaitanya explains that this faith will be cultivated by association with devotees.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是说，只有当我们跟奉献者联谊的时候，这份信心它才能够得到养育。
Sometimes just knowing another devotee and knowing that that devotee is very advanced, that alone gives us faith and confidence.
那有的时候仅仅是因为我们认识另外一个奉献者，也知道那个奉献者非常的坚定，仅仅是这样的一种了解，就可以让我们的信心倍增。
So,The next thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to do now is explain faith on the basis of attachment to Krishna.
那现在呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 进一步的来解析这个信心，它是基于对 Krishna 的皈依的程度，来解释的。
Because ultimately, how do we know?How we're progressing in Krishna consciousness is based on how much we're attached to the process and how much we're attached to Krishna.
就是说我们对于 Krishna 知觉究竟能理解的多深，实际上最终呢，也是基于我们对 Krishna 以及对奉爱的这个程序的依附的程度和深入了解的程度。
Now people may ask the question, how can you be attached or how can you love someone you don't know?
那有的人他可能就会问出这样的一个问题，你怎么可能去爱一个你并不了解的人呢？
Well, it's the same thing in the material world.
在物质世界里也是一样啊。
Why do people buy a product? Because they have faith that someone else has had results with the product.
那有些人其实你并不是了解某个产品的性质，但是你还是会去买它，但就只是因为你知道另外的人他们买过这个产品，而且用得很好，他们有收获。
So similarly, we gain faith in an attachment to Krishna because we know how others who are very advanced, we see their attachment to Krishna, and then we think,Wow, this is working. I want that too.
所以你对这个奉爱的这程度，之所以有这份信心，有这些依附呢，并不是说你已经达到了这个程度，而是你知道有其他的更加精进的奉献者，他们有这样的一种坚强的信念和一种对 Krishna 的一种完全的依附，而且你看到了他身上的所收获的这个结果，所以你就会说，哦，我也想像他一样。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving now the classification of the different devotees based on their attachment to Krishna.
所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，现在就是基于不同的人对于这个 Krishna 的依附的这个程度，来把他们归于某一个范畴的这个奉献者。
Rati Prema Taratamaye Bhakta Taratama Ekadasha Skanditara Kariyache Lakshana.A devotee is considered superlative or superior according to his attachment and love. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been given.
就是根据一个奉献者的依附与他的爱，就可以被视为是更加的高超的。在圣典薄伽瓦坛的第十一篇当中，有如下症状的描述。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses the scriptures as a support to his statement.
所以呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他是以这个经典作为他论断的一个基础。
And there are three verses which are given by Krishna in the 11th canto.
在这个圣典薄伽瓦坛呢，在这个第十一篇当中有这么三个世界。
The first one is.Ishvare tad adineshu balisheshu vichastucha prema maitri kripopeksha yat karati samadhyama. An intermediate second class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all the devotees, is very merciful to the neophyte, and and ignorant people and neglects those who are envious of devotional service.
在这里就是说到了一位中级的或者是二级的奉献者，他对至尊人格神手表现出极大的爱，他友善地面对所有的奉献者，对出席的和无知的人，对出席的奉献者和无知的人非常的仁慈，同时忽略那些对奉爱服务心生妒忌的人。
So here are very, very clear, specific characteristics.
在这里呢，就是说，他就是把这些特征描述的非常的明确了。
This is describing a medium platform devotee.
在这里讲到的是中级奉献者的特征。
Friendly to all the devotees.
就是说呢，这样的中级的奉献者呢，是善待所有的奉献者，非常的友善。
And especially kind to the younger devotees and to the people in general.
而且呢，特别是对那些更加年幼的出席的这种奉献者，以及那些非奉献者、那些无知的人，尤其的仁慈。
But stays far away from people who are envious.
但是呢，他们会对那些妒忌的人保持距离。
Then the next category says, Archayam eva haraye pujamya shradaye hate.Na tad bhakti shuchanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. A prakrita bhakta, or a materialistic devotee, does not purposefully study the shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to the advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from the spiritual master or from his family who worship the deity.He is to be considered on the material platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta praya, neophyte devotee, or bhakta bhasa, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy.
那在这里就是说到了一位 prakrita bhakta 或者说呢就是有物质动机的奉献者他不会特意的去研习经典 shastra 他也不会有意的去理解纯粹的奉爱服务的实际的标准因此他对于精进高级的奉献者并不会表现出一种恰当的敬意。然而呢，他可能依然会追随灵性导师，或者说去跟随他的在崇拜神像的这个家庭去遵循一些规范的原则。他被认为是在一个物质的层面上，虽然他也试图在奉爱服务当中获得进步，这样的人被称为是 Bhakta Praya， 就是初级的奉献者，或者叫 Bhakta Bas 那么他呢，在这个 Vaishnava 的哲学当中获得了些许的觉悟。
So again, very specific characteristics.
所以在这里对这个。奉献者这个层面的奉献者呢，也有非常明确的特征的描述。
And it's very important to know those characteristics so we know where we are situated and how far we have to go.
所以呢，我们要去了解这样的出席奉献者的这个特征，这个是非常的重要的，因为我们就知道自己是处在什么样的一个阶段，而且也知道自己离那个终极到底还有多大的距离。
Prabhupada never expected that devotees or people just join Krishna consciousness and just stay the way they are. No, from the moment that we join Krishna consciousness, we are meant to be working on spiritual progress all the time. This is Prabhupada called a movement. We have to be on the move all the time.
那虽然帕帕呢，他从来就不希望说，人们加入了 Krishna 知觉，成为奉献者之后呢，就一直。停滞不前一直待在原来的这个位置上他希望一个人一旦开始修习 Krishna 知觉呢就毫不懈怠能够一直的进步一直的这个努力这就是为什么 我们的这个 Krishna 知觉，它称为是运动 ，Krishna 知觉运动。运动的意味着就是说，一直需要在那儿行进，一直要在那儿行动的，毫不懈怠，毫不停滞。
Because what happens if we stagnate?
因为假如说我们停滞下来，那会发生什么呢
？Then the old habits take over again.
那就是说之前的这种习性啊，又显出来了，把我们淹没了。
Maya sees that we are not that enthusiastic, and Maya will take over.
Maya 看到了我们的这个热情不够的时候呢，他就会占这个主导了。
So this is not a competition. It's not that we have to be, you know, racing and running like crazy.
当然了，我的意思也不是说这个就好像在赛跑一样呢，我们就好像疯了一样的往前冲，这个也是没有必要的。
They say in English, steady pace wins the race.
就是在英语里面呢，有这样的一句话，步子迈得稳呢，就能够在这个赛跑中获得冠军。
We all know the story of the turtle and the rabbit.
我们大家可能也都知道那个龟兔赛跑的故事。
You have it in Chinese?
Yes, when we were just entered the primary school.
Yeah.
那个来长浩跟我说，我们在中国是不是也有这样的故事？我说是啊，小学一年级的时候，第一个故事就是龟兔赛跑。
So the rabbit thought he was smart and started running and running and running, and the turtle can only go so fast.
然后就是说这个兔子呢，它挺不可一世的，它觉得它自己肯定是可以得胜，所以它就使劲儿的跑了一阵。然后那个乌龟呢，它肯定是很慢的，所以它就在那儿慢吞吞的在往前爬。
But no matter how slow the turtle was going, the turtle never stopped.
但是这个乌龟呢，虽然爬得慢，但是它从来都不放弃，它就是这样稳定的，一直的往前走。
Whereas the rabbit was running and showing off to everybody, look how fast I'm going.
那这兔子跑得很快了，就跟周围人在那炫耀啊，我跑得多快呀。
And then very close to the finishing line, the rabbit thought, "Oh, I'm going to take a break."
然后呢
now that I know that I have won the race.
然后快到终点的时候呢，他就得意洋洋的认为这次这个赛跑呢，这个胜利是非我莫属了，所以他就准备休息一会儿。
And the rabbit fell asleep, and the turtle passed the rabbit and finished on the finishing line.
他这么一松懈呢，就睡着了，呼呼大睡。但是这个乌龟从来都没有停止，所以它就一步一步一步的，终于在这个兔子还在睡觉的时候，就越过了终点。
So each devotee has a specific speed by which they make progress. The question, the most important thing is to never stop.
就是对于每一个奉献者来说，其实我们的这个速度步调可能是。不是完全的一样的，但是这里的有一个核心的关键，就是在于你从来的都不放弃，从来都不停止。
Because when you stop, that's the defeat.
因为一旦你停步下来了，那你也就失败了。
And this is very interesting because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes a very, very powerful statement.
那这个是非常有意思的，在《普迦梵歌》里面 ，Krishna 说了一段呢掷地有声的话。
In the ninth chapter, he tells Arjuna that a devotee, regardless of behavior, if a devotee never gives up Krishna consciousness, he still remains saintly.
也就是说，在第九章里面有一段诗节，就是讲到了无论一个奉献者行为如何，但是他只要在奉爱服务当中保持稳定的话，他就永远是一位圣人。
And again, this is why we have to be careful. We are not in a position to judge other devotees.
在这一点上，我们尤其呢，就是要谨慎小心，因为我们的确是不在这样的一个位置上，可以随便的对其他的奉献者进行评判。
As we say in English again, when you point the finger at somebody, you have three fingers pointing at yourself.
在英语里面，我们有这样的一句俗语，就是说，你一个手指去指对别人的时候，有三个手指是指着自己的，就是像那个手枪的那个手势一样。 一个食指呢指着别人，但是有三个食指是朝向自己的。
So it happens that sometimes a devotee may behave in ways which is surprising to others.
那有的时候呢，有些奉献者可能的这个行为有点让别人大跌眼镜。
It may look even that they are deviating.
好像他已经都偏离了。
But if they never give up the process of Krishna consciousness, we just have to give them the time and give them the space until they are re-established on the proper path.
但是实际上他只要是还没有放弃这个奉爱服务的休息，我们只需要再给他一定的时间和空间，假以时日，那么他肯定还会就是回到这个Krishna 知觉的这条道路上面。
And it's not because someone makes a mistake that we are free from the mistake. We are not free from mistakes either.
这并不是说别人犯了这个错误，我们好像就是永无谬误的，我们没有错误。其实我们每个人都很容易犯错。
This is why Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur and all the Acharyas are warning the devotees not to engage in Vaishnav criticism.
所以说呢，就是无论是铁塔尼亚马哈佛普还是达斯塔古还是其他的阿查亚们，就一而再再而三的去警示奉献者们，不要随便的去批评其他的奉献者。
Criticizing other devotees is paving the path to hell.
这个去批评去谴责其他的奉献者，其实就是修筑了一条通往地狱的道路。
Now, Sarva Mahaguna Gana Vaishnav Sharire Krishna Bhakte Krishna Gana Shakari Sanchare. A Vaishnav is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities, all the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotee.
那接下来的这段诗节呢，就是说一位已经培养了所有的美好的超然品质的人，就被称为是一位名副其实的 Vaishnava 奉献者。 Krishna 的所有的美好的品质都会相继的出现在这位 Krishna 的奉献者身上。
And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would quote a very famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
刚才说到就是那些美好的品质就会逐步的展示在这位奉献者的身上，然后接下来Chaitanya Mahaprabhu又引用了来自于Srimad Bhagavatam圣典国家瓦坛里的一个非常著名的诗节。
Yasasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana Sarver Gunais Tatha Samasate Shuraha Arava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahan Guna Manoratena Sati Dhavato Bahi. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged in mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord.
那在这里呢，就是说到，对于一个对 Krishna 拥有毫不动摇的奉爱的信心的人而言 ，Krishna 的所有美好的品质，半神人所有的美好的品质都会竞相展示。然而，如果一个人对于至尊人格守神没有丝毫的奉爱之情，那么他也就没有任何好品格，因为他只是在这个世俗的心意推测之中，他只是在这个物质存在的心意推测之中，那只是主的外在的特征。
So when a devotee, what this verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj when he offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev.
这个就是 Prahlad Maharaj 他向这个主尼辛哈德去祈祷的时候说的一段话。
So, based on the level of faith A devotee acquires Krishna's qualities.
所以呢，就是说是基于一个奉献者对奉爱服的这种信心的这个程度，那这个奉献者呢，他其实就是相应的就获得了来自于 Krishna 的品质。
In other words, we become a devotee who progresses in Krishna consciousness becomes like Krishna.
换句话说，就是一个奉献者，他在 Krishna 知觉当中不断的循序渐进的、不断的进步的时候，其实他相应的也就不断的获得了来自于 Krishna 的美好的品质。
And this is how we begin to understand what it means to have a relationship with Krishna.
所以呢，这个时候我们就开始真正的理解和 Krishna 之间有一种关系究竟意味着什么。
Again, Krishna consciousness is not just about following rules and regulations and following all the different aspects of Krishna consciousness without understanding what they mean.
Krishna 知觉呢，并不是一种机械的去从事这个规范的这些修习，也不是说就是说是一种完全没有觉知，我就是完全没有头脑的那样的去做 Krishna 知觉中的所有的。这些服务，而并不知道到底它的意义在哪里。
Over the years, we have to see tangible results. We have to be the person. The person has to be transformed.
所以呢，如果一个人他就是修习非常知觉一段时间的话，我们一定要在这个人身上就能够看到那样的一种改变。而且这种改变它是可以触及的，可以看到的。
We should be able to see clearly the level of advancement based on the characteristic and the behavior of a devotee and say, wow, she has made so much progress.
那就是从一个奉献者的言行还有他的品格上面就可以清晰地看到这个奉献者所取得的巨大的进步。
And that progress means that we gradually acquire Krishna's qualities, means the heart is becoming cleansed.
那这个进步呢，其实就是因为他逐步的获得了 Krishna 的品格。再换句话说，就是说他的心就是得到了净化，得到了清洗。
I remember when we celebrated Srila Prabhupada's centennial.
我还记得施拉帕尔帕就是百年诞辰的纪念。
That was in 1996.
就是在1996年的时候。
And it was amazing how many things that devotees came up with in terms of ideas how to glorify Srila Prabhupada.
就是在这那一年，就是看到奉献者以各种各样的方式。来荣耀和纪念施拉帕布法的，简直是让人觉得不可思议。
And I remember writing an offering for Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja in 96, and the offering was 108 qualities of Prabhupada.
我记得我当时写了一个献给施拉帕布法的 Vyasa Puja， 在那篇 Vyasa Puja 的祷文里面，我提到了施拉帕布法的108项品格。
And when I got to 108, I thought, why 108? There are so many more.
当我写到了第108项品格的时候，我对自己说，为什么只局限于108项呢？还有很多很多无穷无尽的可以写。
So let's say you were asked to write something about another devotee to show your appreciation.
那我们举个例子，比如说有人让你写一篇，就是去赞扬另外一个奉献者的文章。去表达你的这种欣赏。
So you're going to scratch your head to write two or three good things.
然后你就开始挠头了，可能就能够挤出这么两三个品格。
And then you're going to have a long list of things that you don't like.
然后你接下来可能写的就是好多你不喜欢的地方。
Now you do the same thing 5 years later.
这个五年之后，你再这样去做，同样的。
And your list of good things is going to increase, and your list of bad things decrease.
你可能就会发现，就关于另外一个奉献者的优点的这个部分呢，也越写越多。但是呢，这个缺点，这个不好的这些东西呢，也越来越少。
And then ultimately, there's no more bad things; it's only good things.
最后呢，你就会发现，就是没有什么不好的东西了，都是好的。
So when we begin to think about how far can the Vaishnava develop sensory qualities, there's actually no limit to it.
所以呢，当我们去想一个 Vaishnava 奉献者究竟呢能够培养出多少的神圣的品格的时候，其实我们就知道了，这可以说是无穷无尽的，根本就没有限度。
Just like it is not possible to actually write down or even speak out or go to the end of describing the qualities of Krishna.
就好像说呢，我们如果要去描述 Krishna 的这些品格的时候，我们根本就没有办法就是穷尽的，不管是我们去写还是去说呀等等。
Say Saba Gana Hoy Vaishnava Lakshana Saba Kahana Yoy Kari Dik Darshana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says all these transcendental qualities are the characteristic of pure Vaishnavas. They cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some important qualities.
那接下来的 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就说了，就是说所有的这些超然的品格都是纯粹的 Vaishnava 奉献者的特征，而且永无止境。但是呢，我还是要尝试着去指出其中重要的一些品格。
Okay, so what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to do now, he's going to describe the 26 qualities of a devotee.
那接下来 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 要做的就是说他要讲述描述这个纯粹的奉献者 Vaishnava 奉献者的26项品格。
Kriparu, Akrita Droha, Satyasara, Sama, Nidosha, Vadanya, Mridu, Suchi, Akinchana, Sarvopakaraka, Santa, Krishnaika, Sharana, Akama, Aniha, Stira, Vijata, Sadguna, Mitabhuk,Apramata, Manadan, Ani, Gambira, Karuna, Maitra, Daksha, Mouni. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed and so forth.They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent.
这里讲到了这个奉献者的26项品格，所以说奉献者呢，总是仁慈、谦卑、真诚、平等对待众生，不会犯错，宽宏大量，温和洁净，他们没有任何的物质的拥有，他们会为众生谋福祉，他们非常的平和，皈依于 Krishna， 而且无欲无求，他们对于任何的物质的财富物质的这个拥有都是漠不关心的，他们永远的专注在奉爱服务之中，他们完全的控制住了六项坏品质，如色欲、愤怒、贪婪等等，他们食量适中，他们永远不会放纵，他们总是他们总是充满着对他们总是充满着敬意，他们非常的庄重、仁慈，没有虚荣，毫无虚荣。他们非常的友善、富有诗意、精湛而沉默。
So we're not going to discuss these qualities now because there's so many of them.
因为这里的这个罗莉的这个品质是很多的，所以我们也没有时间来一的讲解。
But we have to understand that we have to cultivate these qualities to attract Krishna's mercy.
但是我们要知道，我们也要慢慢的去培养这样的一种品质，这样才能够吸引到Krishna 的仁慈。
And that these qualities are actually the ornament. This is the word lakshana is mentioned. Lakshana means ornament.
在这里有一个词叫 lakshana 的意思、就是。
Lakshana.
Lakshana 就是意思呢，就是饰品、装饰、装饰啊，就是这个意思。
And
lakshana.
They are the decoration of the soul.
可以说他们是这个灵魂的饰物，就是灵魂的装饰。
So Prabhupada explained, I heard recently in the lecture, Prabhupada was talking about these 26 qualities.
最近我听到的一个 Srila Prabhupada 的讲座里面就提到了这26项品格。
And he asked, he said, is it possible for one devotee to have all these qualities at one time?
然后他就问了一个问题，说一个奉献者他是否可能同时的就表现出这全部的26项品格呢？
And those 26 qualities are only just symptomatic. There are so many more qualities, but these are very prominent.
这26项品格就是说是比较的显而易见的。其实除了这26项品格，还有很多很多的这种品质。这26项只是说是最突出的。
The main thing to understand at this point, because we're going to end the class, is that a devotee knows.That progress is being made when Vaishnava qualities appear in the devotee's behavior and consciousness.
那我们就知道要在奉献者的他的行为举止和他的知觉当中表现出一定的好品格。我们能看到的时候，我们就知道这个奉献者在 Krishna 知觉当中在进步。
We have to be able to determine on a regular basis.How much progress we are making.
所以说呢，我们呢时时刻刻都要下定这个决心，我们要在 Krishna 知觉当中，在奉爱的这个服务当中呢，一定要求取进步。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let's see if we have questions. 我们来等一下哈，看一下什么可以把达玛特吉那里有没有问题发过来。What does poetic mean?
It means you like to describe Krishna's pastime with your own words.
我问说会有诗意。
I don't want to start describing this.
Okay, just one. 我就等的时候我们就说一条，就是我问说富有诗意是什么，然后他却不说了。就是说这个奉献者他能够用自己的语言非常优美的去描述主 Krishna 的逍遥时光。OK， 第一个问题来自于 Das， 他有两个问题，第一个是什么是机械的涟漪，第二个是如何量化的评估我们的进步。So this devotee Das has two questions. The first one is, what do you mean by mechanic association? The second is, how to evaluate our external progress by quantity?
By quantity?
Quantity means we exactly know where we are, how much we progress.
To answer the first question is, you can be very mechanical in associating with devotees by just being with the devotees, not serving them, not inquiring from them.
就是机械的联谊，我们举例子来说，比如说你可能跟另外的奉献者在一起联谊，但是呢你也不懂得去询问他们一些问题，就是求询于他们或者说对他们做服务只是这么机械的待在一起。
Or just being with the devotees with no intention to actually make progress.
或者是你跟奉献者在一起的时候呢，只是待在一起，没有这种想要在 Krishna 知觉上面获得进步的这个想法。
Of course, there's nothing wrong with just being with the devotees. It's actually very good that we have the desire to be with the devotees.
当然了，和奉献者在一起，只要是在一起就没有什么错的。只要我们还有这个愿望，能够和奉献者在一起，这本身就很不错。
I recall some people who used to come to the temple, practically speaking, every Sunday without fail to be with the devotees for years and years and years.
我记得以前呢，我就有这样的一个体验，不是体验，就是就见到这样的一种情况，就是说有的人呢，他们年复一年，日复一日的每个星期天他们都会来到这个庙里。
And then one day they have enough and they disappear. You never see them again.
然后有一天呢，他们终于觉得够了，没兴趣了，他们就离开了，再也没有见到过他们了。
So we have to see how association with devotees has to bring about some fruit, some results.
所以呢，我们就是说呢，也要关注我们跟奉献者的这个联谊是不是能够。让我们获得一些成果，就是你这样的一个行动呢，它一定会是有一定的就是收获的，要对这个收获有所意识。
And the second question,
how to evaluate our progress by tangible quantity?
No, it's not a question of quantity,
yeah.
It's a question of quality.
量化，实际上。我不知道这个量化是指的是就是说通过数量可以来评估。发布他说呢，这个不是一个数量的问题，而是质量的问题。
Quantity can be there, but unless there is quality, quantity is absolutely useless.
就是说呢，这个需要有这个量，但是说呢，如果说是没有质的话，那就是没有意义的。只也有质无量的这样的一种情况是毫无意义。
First thing that comes to mind is quality chanting when you chant japa.
我们举例来说，比如说你念诵，我们经常说要有品质、有质量的这个念诵。
What is the quality of the 16 rounds?
那这个我们要问一下，这16圈的质量。
If japa is a constant struggle with the mind,
如果这个 japa 这个念诵呢，只不过是一种这个头脑里的挣扎，
that's a very good indication of how far we are going.
这完全就可以说明我们究竟还能坚持多久。
Every other activities that we perform in devotional service.If we do it with quality, then Krishna will give the ability to increase in quantity.
那就是说，如果说我们做以在奉献服务里做一些事情，在我们这个数量的这个基础上面，我们能够致力于这种质的提高。那么随着质的这个提高 ，Krishna 他也会做出安排，让我们就是增加这个量。
Now we have to understand.Very importantly, what quantity means.
那我们也要非常的清楚，就是说这个数量意味着什么。
Because you have to be very advanced and very mature in Krishna consciousness to increase the quantity of your sadhana.
其实就是说，在你的 sadhana 当中，要达到质上的这个飞跃的话，真的是需要有你一定程度上的。这个成熟和精进。
Quantity of hearing, quantity of chanting, quantity of remembering.
就是聆听、唱诵和意念这三项上面的这个数量。
How much of that can we do?
那我们究竟能做多少呢
？We can't do it artificially.
不能是非常刻意的去做。
However, quantity of service, yes.
但是呢，如果我们说到这个服务的话，服务的数量，这个是可以把握的。
How much prasadam can I distribute? How many books can I distribute? How much of the holy name can I distribute?
那比如你这个时候就可以量化了。比如说你到底是能够派多少本书，你可以派出多少盘的 prasadam， 这些都是可以量化的。
This is what Prabhupada established. He told the devotees.Our only business is to sit by the bank of the Ganga and the Jamuna and chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. But because we are not qualified to do this, we have to have all these services and these projects so we can work hard to purify ourselves.
所以帕帕他就说过这样一句话，他说呢，其实说，我们真正要做的就是去恒河和亚穆纳河边去念诵主的圣名，但是因为我们还不足以纯粹到这样的一个程度，只是去念诵主的圣名，所以我们才需要做这么多的具体的这些奉献服务，要做那些工程，那些项目，所有的这些丰富的奉献服务的目的是为了净化我们的内心。
Here we are just in Mayapur, we're just on the bank of the Ganges. You go to the Ganges, you don't see anybody chanting all day.
就是我们现在就是在这个恒河旁边，然后你到这个恒河的话，你也不会看到说有谁真的就24小时的一动不动的在那里念诵了。
But here at the temple, everybody is very active during service.
然后呢，再说这里的这个庙里面大家都是非常积极的在做各种各样的服务。
So quantity is measurable by how much we can spread Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，这个数量怎么来评定呢？这是要看我们的这个传播 Krishna 知觉的这个程度，这样才能够去量化的。
And Prabhupada told the devotees, you can judge how surrendered and advanced a devotee is, how many devotees does he make, how many temples does he open, how many books does he distribute.
就是释迦牟尼佛他说呢，他说你可以去这样的去衡量一个奉献者的精进的这个程度，看他究竟是发展了多少新奉献者，开设了多少的庙宇，然后呢派发了多少书籍。
Next.
下一个问题来自于志敏，顶拜咕噜感谢翻译赠送一些书籍给已经念诵的新人，会不会助长他们的贪婪，或者会助长他们的不珍惜呢？My obeisance is to Guru and the translators. If we give some new devotees who have chanted, who have started chanted, to give some books for free, will that breed their greedy? Will that breed or lead to, will their greediness increase because of getting some books for free? You don't pay, but you get the book. Did you get it?
Yeah.
And will that breed or give rise to their, how to say, they don't really take things for granted. They don't cherish whatever they get.
Well, this question has always been subject of opinions and exchanges among devotees, not just in China, but all over the world.
其实你在这里所说的这一点呢，就是是一个非常普遍存在的一个问题。不光是在中国，在中国以外的这些奉献者当中呢，也是一直在讨论的。
So, for example, in China, you have the Buddhists are giving books for free.
比如说我们看到在中国的话，他们这个佛教的学佛的人，他们都是有这个助缘的书，他们这个书就是结缘品啊。
And you don't see people being greedy, and you don't see people taking it for granted.
那他们拿到那些书的话，我们并没有看到他们的这个贪婪增长了，
people,
或者说他们就觉得理所应当不珍惜。
People actually cherish those books, and they have high respect for those books because they believe knowledge should be given freely.
那么其实呢，就是得到了这些结缘品的人呢，他们其实是也是非常的珍惜，也是非常的重视的，因为他们能够感觉到这种知识的价值，同时他们觉得知识就是应当是免费的赠予的。
But someone is paying for those books. They're not being printed for free.
但是肯定是有人捐助了，否则的话呢，这些书籍也是印刷不出来了，也没有办法流通。
So you have to judge according to the exchanges you have with people. We have in our different programs in China, myself and Krishna Premi, sometimes people, they come forward, say, how much is the book?They will come forward and ask, how much do I pay for this book? They know it's not free.
就是说我你这个要根据自己的情况，你跟外面的人之间的这种交流，这种互动的，开始去进行这个判断。比如说我和 Krishna Premi 我们做一些活动，在这些活动当中我们也会去推荐国家梵歌这样的书。你有的时候呢，你不是直接的去跟他们去卖，但是他们会主动的来到你的跟前去询问，我想请这个书是多少钱。他们知道这些书并不是免费的，他们愿意去付出。
And other time we meet people and to establish relationship, we just give them a Bhagavad Gita for free. It's a gift.
那有的时候呢，我们遇到一些陌生人第一次见面，然后我们可能有的时候也会送给他一本国家梵歌的这个书，要根据实际的情况。
But the point is money has to come from somewhere to print those books.
但是重要的就是说，还是所有的这些书要印刷出来的话，肯定是需要有一定的这个资金，我们得想办法找到这个资金来印刷这些书籍，这是肯定的。Sumukhi Radha Mataji， 顶拜亲爱的帕布和 Mataji， 感恩你们精彩的讲课。请问，如果出席奉献者由于所处的阶段，不自觉的对奉献者随意的做出了很多的评判和冒犯，甚至已经对 Krishna 将他隔离，没有机会再和奉献者有亲密的联谊，该如何解除这些冒犯呢？ Please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, if a neophyte devotee is because of his or her particular stage, he made some unconscious judgment and offenses to the devotees, he is just simply too casual, And somehow he is isolated by Krishna himself. He has lost his opportunity to get a further intimate association with the devotees. So, how to dismantle that offense? How to remove that offense?
It's a good question.
你的这个问题问得很好。
There are two things that happen at the same time.
在这里呢，以同时发生的两件事情是这样。
And you know, I will answer your question by giving Prabhupada's example.
我想举出了 Prabhupada 的例子，由此来回答你的问题。
Prabhupada gives the example of the hospital.
是的 ，Prabhupada 呢，他就举了一个医院的例子。
He said this, you know, Krishna consciousness and being in a hospital.
这个 Krishna 知觉就好像是在一个医院里。
And every patient is treated in a different way based on the gravity of the disease.
那就是每一个病人呢，就是根据他这个疾病的严重的这个程度，他在这个医院里面就得到相应的治疗。
Now, the doctors, the surgeons, the nurses, when the patients go crazy and kick, they don't take it seriously.
就是说，当这个病人表现出非常大的动静，就是很疯狂的时候，这个医生也好，外科进行外科手术的医生也好，还是护士也好，其实并不会太当回事。
Because if they did take it seriously, then if they took it personally, then the patients would never be cured.
那就是说，在这个病人他在病中的时候呢，所以就会做出一些过火的这个举动啊，或者言语什么的。那如果说这些医生的话，他就是真的往心里去了，那可能就没有办法，就是进一步的给这个病人施加治疗了。那这个病人就根本没有机会治愈了。
But if sometimes a patient is very much affected by a disease.They need to be isolated.
那有的时候呢，这个病人他的这个病的很重啊，甚至是传染的，所以这个时候就需要把他隔离起来。
They need to be sedated.
就是他得让他们平静下来，就是安定下来。
Right, sometimes they put the patient to sleep, otherwise.
有的时候呢，给他一个镇静剂，就是让他能够平静下来，否则他可能会歇斯底里。
So, on the one hand, the devotees who are more advanced, they should have this ability to engage people so they won't make offenses.
所以呢，就从奉献者的角度来说呢，他应当的更加的精进一些的话，那他就知道怎么样想办法想方设法让对方能够去从事一些奉献服务，这样呢，他的冒犯心就不会那么强了。
And you'll find that most of the time when devotees become offended, why do you commit an offense? It's because you always listen to your mind.
为什么一个人他会不由自主的去冒犯呢？是因为这个人他老是听从自己心意的差遣。
It's your mind that tells you to make offenses.
其实是你的心意啊，它在不断的驱使你去做这种冒犯的行为。
Based on the envy in the heart.
这个基础上根子上是你心里的这种妒忌。
Now, there is the story of the very famous Vaishnava named Jayananda Prabhu in America.
在美国有一位非常著名的奉献者，他的名字叫 Jayananda Prabhu.
Jayananda Prabhu is an exceptional Vaishnava who passed away many years ago.
Jayananda Prabhu 呢是一位非常卓越的奉献者，在多年之前就隐迹了。
And one time, one devotee approached him and says, "Prabhu, can you tell me your secret for spiritual advancement?"
那有一次呢，有一个奉献者呢就询问他说 ，Prabhu， 你能不能告诉我，你在这个你取得这个灵性进步的秘诀是什么
？And Jayananda Prabhu replied, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy doing service to think about it."
那 Jayananda Prabhu 他说呢，很抱歉呢，我这个问题我回答不上来，因为我做奉献服务做得太忙了。
And oftentimes you will find that offenses will be avoided if devotees are physically, practically engaged in service.
所以有的时候你会看到，如果说奉献者真的是身体力行的，真的是用这个体力去做一些非常可行的、非常实际的奉献服务的时候呢，
so,
他的这个冒犯嘛，就不知不觉就烟消云散。
It is the duty and the responsibility from the gurus, the GBCs, the secretaries, the group leaders, the mature devotees to engage everyone else in service so that people will avoid committing offenses.
所以说呢，其实这也是 guru 们GBC， 然后秘书还有这个年长的这个奉献者的责任，就是让所有的奉献者都能够投入到积极的奉献服务当中去，这样呢，他们就不会活在自己的心意里面，就可以避免冒犯了。
Prabhupada used to tell the devotees, when a devotee goes to sleep at night, they don't fall asleep, he said, they fall unconscious.
释迦牟尼他说呢，奉献者晚上上床睡觉了，那不叫睡觉，那个叫失去知觉。
Because they've done so much service, it's beyond exhaustion.
就好像晕过去了一样，因为他们就是做了很多很多的奉献服务，白天的时候特别的忙碌，到了晚上的时候呢，已经不是精疲力竭这样的一个词语可以去形容
了。So we have to engage the devotees in service, so the devotees won't have time to think about judging, criticizing, because they'll be completely satisfied with service.
所以说呢，有一个办法就是让奉献者安排好多奉献服务，让奉献者们积极的去做奉献服务，这样他们根本就没有功夫去批评别人，或者说是评判别人了。因为他们都忙得顾不过来，而且因为这样的奉献服务，内心当中已经完全的心满意足了，根本就不想冒犯。下一个问题来自于空性顶拜咕噜的莲花族，请问回到灵性世界不再轮回，指的是不会再有物质的躯体吗？如果躯体那是以一样无形无相的存在吗？如果没有躯体，那是以一样无形无相的能量存在吗？Please accept my humble obeisance at your lotus feet. My question is, when we say that when we reach to the spiritual world and we stopped our reincarnation, does that mean that we are free from a material body? if we don't have a material body, does that mean we will exist as a formless energy?
When you return to the spiritual world, you obtain a spiritual body with a face and arms and torso and legs and a heart and eyes and nose and hands, so you can serve Krishna.
当我们回到了这个灵性世界的时候呢，我们就换了一副眼睛、耳朵、口、四肢、躯干等等。因为当你有这样的一个灵性的躯体的时候，你就可以更好的为这个主做奉献服务了。
But you can also serve Krishna in the spiritual world as a tree.
但是你到了灵性世界的时候呢，你也可以是一棵大树的这个形象去服务。
As a cow.
或者是奶牛。
As a bird.
或者是一只鸟。
As a stone.
一块石头
，as a blade of grass，
一根草
，as a river，
一条河
，as a cloud，
一片云。
You can take any form, but you are never formless.
就是你可以在灵性世界获得任何的一种形象，任何一种形体，但是永远不会是无形无相的。
You can even be a monkey.
你还可以变成一头一只小猴子。Okay, so it's a spiritual body. 就是到了灵性世界，你获得的是一个灵性的躯体。下一个问题来自于吴秀红，顶拜咕噜莲花族，顶拜翻译妈的几个安奉献者们，每天早上打坐念诵圣名，轻易乱想其他的事情。如果放圣名的翻音时一起念诵，会好些，心意会专注圣名，翻一些不知如何是好。Every morning I would get up.And sit and chant the holy names, but my mind always wanders around. It goes, lingers everywhere. So if I put on the chanting of the holy name, and I chant along with the holy name, I will feel better, and my mind will be more focused on the holy name. I really don't know what to do.
You're doing the right thing.
你做的你没有做错，你做的挺好的。
Get a recording of Prabhupada chanting Japa and chant together with Prabhupada.
你可以找到一个Srila Prabhupada的Japa，就是早上念诵圣名的这个录音，然后你可以放着，然后就是跟Prabhupada一起念诵。这样会对你很有帮助。
That will be very helpful. Then your mind will be fixed on hearing instead of wandering around.
然后这样子呢，你就会让自己在念诵的同时去仔细的去聆听了，而不会说是心猿意马的那个样子。下一个问题来自于杨盖莲，顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译，十岁左右的孩子追求美的，虚荣心特别强，比如为了美可以牺牲。自己的不舒服，为了搭配的合理，可以冬天穿夏天的鞋子。这种追求美的虚荣心是受父母和环境的影响吗？还是他与生俱来的本性？顶拜咕噜，感谢您的回答。So a child who is about 10 years old has a very strong tendency for false prestige. A 10 years old child.To present himself beautiful, he would sacrifice his comfort. For example, in the winter, he would put on the shoes for summer just to match with the clothes and the pants. So this kind of, hankering for external beauty, is it to be influenced by the...parents or the environment, or this is something comingfrom birth as his nature? Thank you very much.
It means that the child will become a big movie star.
这说明这个孩子以后可以做个这个电影明星。
These are definitely some scar from previous life.
这孩子表现出这样的一个特点，一定是来自于这个 samskara。samskara 是一个梵文的词，意思就是说，因为前世而留下的一些烙印。
Normally, a child of that age don't really care what they wear as long as they are comfortable.
一般来说，那个小孩子在那个年龄十岁的这个样子，他是不会在意自己到底穿什么东西的，只要他身体舒服就行。
So these are the signs that this child is going to be very demanding in the future.
这个意味着这个孩子以后长大的话呢，可能是要求很高的，有很多要求。
So what's best to do is to engage the child in Krishna conscious activities.
所以你怎么做呢？你就引导这个孩子能够去做一些知觉奉爱的服务，让他去做一些奉献服务。
Everything else is external.
其他的都是一些外在的东西。
And the best way to engage a child in Krishna conscious activities is to make sure that the child gets first class, very tasty Krishna prasadam.
那么怎么样才能够让他去从事 Krishna 知觉中的奉献服务呢？这有一个前提，就是你要想方设法的给这个孩子荣耀到非常美味的 Krishna 的 prasadam.
If you have absolutely first class Krishna prasadam to feed that boy, and you play the Maha Mantra in the house, you will see how his life will change.
你呢可以首先给这个孩子非常美味的这个 prasadam 经常性的给他，然后你在这个家里面放着这个 Maha Mantra 曼陀罗的这个音乐，然后呢过了一段时间，你就会看到这个孩子是有所变化的。
And how do you know that the changes has come?
然后你怎么才能知道他真的是变化了呢？
The day he will wear winter shoes in the winter.
就是他冬天的时候穿冬天的鞋子，这就说明他改变了。
Okay.
So his attention was diverted.
Right.
就是这个孩子他的注意力会发生转移，他找到了更加开心的、有意思的。被圣名菩萨呢更进一步的吸引，那么他可能就忘记了其他的。
Come on.
Okay, he said if you buy a book for free, for example, for a new person, he buys a lot of books just paying one RMB. Is it okay? Would that would that feed his intention of taking things for granted or to take advantage of this? How to deal with it? Because there is a promotion of free books right now. That's why they are asking
you
this
mean
question.
You mean free Prabhupada's books?
Yeah.
Yes,
it's everywhere online. 我解释说因为现在有这个就是说赠送书籍的这个推动活动。
Well, if they promote online free books, then means the books are free. Don't worry about how people think and how people feel.
就是如果是真的是有这样的一个免费书籍的一个推广的这个活动的话，那就这样去做，不要过多的去想究竟对别人的心态会怎么样，别人的动机会是怎么样啊。
You can't have a promotion of free books and then wondering whether you should charge or not.
就是一旦你这一次的这个派书活动是免费的话，那就不能再这么瞻前顾后再去想我究竟是不是还是应该收点钱呢，还不应该收点钱。 Basically the question is it a good way to promote Prabhupada's books for free? Would that actually feed people's greediness or
well, it's
taking
not,
advantage
yeah, okay, I understand. But the point is that this is not an ongoing regular thing. Maybe there is some bargain sale for some time to move some stock and then you go back to selling. It happens all the time.
这样的一种随缘买书或者说现在的这个书籍赠送的这种活动，它其实是就是偶尔有的这样的一种活动。你比如说它有一批书，它可能正好是在促销的这个过程当中，所以他可能就免费派发或者是很少的钱派发。那么这一阵子过去之后就还回到这个正常的这个派书的活动。
I'll give you a very good example.
我给你一个例子吧。
In the early 80s in Australia,
在这个八十年代初，在这个澳大利亚
，devotees were going out selling books to the public.
那奉献者呢，就是出去派书，给在公众的场合去派书。
And people were very unhappy.
然后那里的人呢，他们外面的人是非常的不快乐。
Not only that, but they called the police to stop the devotee.
然后那些不是不快乐，就是他们看到奉献者呢，就觉得特别碍眼，特别的不舒服，所以他们就把这个警察给叫来了。
So the Australian Yatra changed the strategy.
所以呢，这个澳大利亚的这个 Yatra 这个地区的奉献者，
Because、
他们就改变了策略了。
The reputation of the devotees was really bad.
因为奉献者的这个名誉啊受到了损伤。
So what the devotees did is they started selling things to make money.
那么奉献者就改变了策略，他们的方式是什么呢？他们就卖一些其他的东西，然后拿它去这个卖钱。
And they made a lot of money.
然后他们就挣了很多很多的钱。
As a matter of fact, many of the buildings in Mayapur.Were built on the money collected by the Australian devotees.
所以这澳大利亚的奉献者呢，就是通过这种方式，就是筹集了大量的资金。事实上，马亚普的这个庙宇的这个主要的资金来源就是来自于澳大利亚奉献者的捐赠。
So they also gave a lot of money to the BBT. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars to the BBT.
我们现在要说的这个钱就是数以千万计美元来计算的，他们也给了大量大量的这个资金输入到这个 BBT。
So the BBT printed millions of books, and the devotees would give the books out for free.
然后这个时候呢 ，BBT 因为有这笔资金的注入，所以就印了这个，可以说是成千上万本。然后奉献者就把这批书都拿来免费的开发。
And together with giving out books for free, devotees would also give prasadam for free.
然后呢，就是说，就是同时这个书是免费的，奉献者还送给买书的人，就是拿到书的人这个免费的prasadam。
And over the years, the mood completely changed in Australia.
然后奉献者就这样一直坚持做了。做了过了好多年之后呢，整个这个氛围都发生了改变。
So much so that the Krishna consciousness movement in Australia is on top of public relations with the government, with all the association, and with the public in general. People love the devotees.
那现在的这个奉献者的这个团体在澳大利亚已是大受欢迎了，无论是从公共关系、政府。的关系，还有就是说这种跟其他宗教之间的接触、对话等等。总之是，无论在任何一个层面上来说，奉献者都是极其的受欢迎的，可以说是已经达到了一个很高的点。
And because they love the devotees, they buy all the books.
然后呢，因为这个公众啊，对奉献者的印象特别好，特别爱喜欢奉献者，所以他们就向奉献者买了好多的书。
So each place as a specific way of giving out Prabhupada's books.
所以这两者呢，其实都是可以的。就看你具体是怎么样做，怎么样的策略。总之是把 Prabhupada 的书籍就是派发了出去。I think what 补充一句哈 ，I think what he means is that some people they just pay one RMB and get a lot of books. Maybe some people even sell those stock in the future.
It doesn't matter. It's transcendental literature. It will end up in the hand of somebody who's been waiting for that mercy for lifetimes.
Right, right. 那我听到有些人说，那会不会这个人花一块钱，比如说买很多的书，然后存在那儿，然后就之后开始卖派书的时候，他又拿它去卖了，从中获利。那在圣帕普他说这个也没有关系，因为不管怎么样，这些书都是超然的书籍，无论是买还是赠送，这些书籍呢总是会到合适的人手里，那些人读了这些书总是会受益的，终归这些书籍都是超然的，所以我们要从一个超然的这个角度来看待这个问题。
I could tell you hundreds of book distribution stories. Hundreds.
关于这个派书的这个故事呢，我可以给你们讲上几百个。 都没有问题。
Like, I'll give you one short story to illustrate your point.
我讲一个小故事哈，就是来说明你刚才说的这一点。
One devotee in New Zealand was giving out books on the street.
有这个新西兰的一个奉献者在街上面呢，就是派发书去，
Small books.
就是小的书 for free, right?就是他是免费的赠阅这些小书。
And one person took the book, kept on walking, and just threw it in the air.
然后有一个人呢，他就是当然经过的时候，他就拿了一本小书往前走了几步，就扔到一边去，扔到空中去了。
It was Sri Sopanishad.
这个是至尊奥义书这本书叫。
There was a 14-year-old boy watching the scene.
然后当时有一个14岁的少年，他看到了这个过程，整个这个。
He picked up the book off the floor.
然后呢，这书掉在地上，他就捡起来了。
And took it home.
他把这本书给带回家。
He was still young to understand, so he kept the book.
那因为那个时候他还比较小，14岁，还不太看得懂这个书，但是这本书呢，他就是保存起来了。
And a few years later, he started reading the book, and boom!His spiritual life began.
几年之后呢，他就开始读这本书了。然后呢，他一开始读，他的这个灵性的生命就正式的开始了。
This person has now been a devotee for 35 years.
这个奉献者，他现在已经是修习佛圣之觉35年了。
He is a very, very advanced Vaishnava.
是一位非常非常精进的 Vaishnava 奉献者。
So.Let the books do make their own journey into people's hearts.
所以呢，就让这些书哈，就是沿着自己的这个轨迹来到人们的手中吧。就是这个书，它是会自己走的。到顶巴帕布的莲花组 Indra 的地位比他的 Guru 的地球上的婆罗门 Vishvarupa 还高，为什么？So the position of Indra is even higher the Brahmana Vishvarupa on the earth. Why is that? So Vishvarupa is his guru. Why Indra's position is even higher than his guru, who is the Brahmana on this earth?
Were you reading the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam?
你在看《圣典薄伽尔坛》第六篇吗？
Indra ultimately in that pastime will have to learn some hard lessons.
就是因为在这个特定的这个逍遥时光当中，这个 Indra 呢，他肯定是要吸取一些教训。
And he will learn that he is not to find himself to be superior to his guru. Indra is to learn that he is not superior to his guru.
就是说这个 就是 Indra 呢，他其实在这里要学到的、吸取的一个教训，就是说他的地位是绝对不会比他的 guru 更高。
Because Indra's motive for approaching Vishvarupa was not a spiritual motive, was a material motive.
因为 Indra 呢，他当时去来到他的这个 guru Vishvarupa 的这个面前，其实他抱着的不是一种灵性的。动机，而是一种物质的动机。
And the lesson is that we should never go to a guru with material motives.
所以让我们学到的这一课就是说，我们永远不要带着物质的动机去来到我们的灵性导师面前，或者去找一位灵性导师。
So ultimately, Indra was defeated.
所以最后呢，这个 Indra 是败下阵来了。
By Vritasura.
就是被这个 Vritasura。下一个问题，徐宝英，顶巴老师的莲花组，请教您今天讲的玛迦丽拉22章，我找不到请的整套书，但只有到16章，难道还有多少卷和多少章吗？ This is a question about the Chinese translation. You talked about Madhya Lila chapter 22, but I can't find the Chinese version of 22. Yeah, 因为那个这个问题可以回答一下，就是Chaitanya Charitamrita 的整套书还没有完全译出来，所以还有剩下一部分还要出来。这一直到那个安提阿利拉 ，How many chapters in 安提阿利拉
？20。
就是在最后，它是上中下三部，玛迦那个阿迪利拉、玛迪利拉和安提阿利拉。所以在这个你现在看到的是玛迦利拉，就是中篇逍遥第22章。 之后一直后面还有这个安泰利拉。安泰利拉就是说这个下篇的这个下流大一共是二十章，所以基本上还有不到一半的这个篇幅还没有出来。下一个问题 ，Yamuna Tira David Asi， 请问 Guru 在灵性世界获得灵性躯体，比如花鸟，随着风爱服务情感的深入变化，灵性躯体是否也可以变化，比如花鸟会变成像神一样的两臂形体呢？感恩 Guru 的仁慈。So you just mentioned that one can get spiritual bodies in the spiritual worlds, for example, the flowers and the birds. So with the deepening of the feelings in devotional service, will the spiritual body also transform? For example, the flowers and the birds, will they become two-armed forms like the Lord Himself? Thank you very much for your mercy.
Yamunatira, you are asking some very deep questions here.
Yamunatira, 你在这里的这个问题可就是问得非常的高深了。
When you are thinking ahead of the game, these questions will be answered in the following chapter.
你所提的这个问题呢，是就是说是提前提出了，这个问题可以在后面的这些章节里面就会得到回答。
But to give you a very quick answer.
但是我这儿可以长话短说给你先回答一下。
If you become a flower in Goloka Vrindavan,You become a flower forever.
如果说你在这个灵性世界格洛卡文达文变成了一朵花，那你就会永远的是一朵花。
That's it. You don't.
就这么简单。
You don't start as a flower and you finish as a bird.
你不会说一开始是一朵花，然后最后就变成了一只鸟了，这个是不会发生的。Because they are all very satisfied.
Next.
下一个问题，杨木。Onatira 还是顶戴 Guru Krishna 在灵性世界是否也会展现不同的年龄段的形象呢？以父母关系服务的奉献者是看到 Krishna 的孩童形象吗？Will Krishna also manifest different forms in different stages of his ages, like for example, the devotees who are in the relationship with Krishna as parents, will they see the child forms in Krishna.
Is this Yamunatira?
Yeah.
Are you studying some Goswami literatures by any chance?
你是不是现在在看这个 Goswami 的这个文献呀？ I think it's all from your answers in the class, in the previous answers.
This is all coming up in this chapter and the next chapter because Lord Chaitanya is going to discuss the different relationship with Krishna in pure devotional service.
那就是你其实提的这个问题呢，就是相关的这些信息都在这一章的剩下的这个部分，还有后面的这个篇章里面就可以读到的。因为接下来Chaitanya Mahaprabhu他要讨论的是和 Krishna 之间的不同关系中的这种纯粹的奉爱服务。
And this is being discussed in the second part of the Nectar of Devotion where Rupa Goswami discussed the different relationship with Krishna.
还有就是就是奉爱的这个甘露的第二部。下篇当中的 Rupa Goswami 呢，他也会谈到和 Krishna 之间的种种的这些不同的关系，以及在这其中的这种纯粹的奉爱之情。
But you have the different forms of Krishna in his earthly pastimes, and you have the different forms of Krishna in his Goloka pastimes.
就是在这个地球上的 Krishna 的逍遥时光里面呢 ，Krishna 他有不同的这个形象。那到在 Goloka Vrindavan 灵性世界 ，Krishna 他也有不同的形象。
So we'll discuss this as we go.
所以呢，我们会接下来随着我们这个课程的推进，我们会进一步的给大家介绍。
Okay, we finish.
好，我们今天的讲课就到这里。
Okay.
6:18.
Okay, thank you so much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for your attention and for your very good question.
感谢所有的奉献者专注的聆听以及你们提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
昆仔之音福缘一聆听下的奉献者们，今天的永恒的齐檀念经呢，我们就讲到这里。我们现在讲到的是《玛达利拉》中篇逍遥的第22章，奉爱服务的程序。感谢大家的聆听，祝大家度过充满Krishna直觉的一天。下周同一时间，周三早上7点再见，Hare Krishna。